vacation. So if you hear that I'm going on vacation to Jamaica, don't treat me like how you treat Brother Morris. Why you go to Florida so often? It was business, 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 plus two funerals. I went to a funeral on Saturday last week, not yesterday. It started at 11:15 and it ended at about 4:30. He was my cousin, a pastor, and most of the time when I go to Jamaica to take care of a funeral, he was part of the ministry that helped to bury my loved ones who had passed away. He was only 67 years old. And after that, I was able to leave that part of the country, came back to Kingston, and was able to go to Sister Yuta's father's funeral, which was, I was very glad to do that. One of the things that I did most time when I go to a funeral, I like to walk in the cemetery and look at the age of some of the people who have passed away. And in recent time, I'm discovering something, that most of them that I look at, they were born either late 70s, 80s, and even in the 90s. Most of them, young people. So the thing about that is that once upon a time when you hear that somebody passed away, they were up in the late 70s, 80s, and 90s. The brother, Sister Yuta's father, I think was 90, Brother Yuta, 90 years old. They know it up to the day. I think 90 years, 5 months, and something like that. But he was a very kind man, very loving man, a born-again Christian. Several times when I used to travel back to Jamaica and Sister Yuta have something to send for both him and his wife, I would go by the home. And if they know that I'm coming, I would never leave empty-handed. If it is breadfruit time, the roast breadfruit will be there waiting for me. They had a mango tree that bear two different types of mango. And when I go there, he said, climb the tree and pick whatever you want. He was somebody in a certain way like me, loved to plant stuff. And some of the things that he planted, juice, noni, and all those things, he will let you know that, although I did not squeeze it with my hands. In other words, don't have any fear of drinking it. You know, we had a wonderful time. The first time I went to Jamaica with my wife, to Emmanuel Chapel, I went to join in the celebration of their 60th anniversary. And it was a very wonderful time, wonderful celebration. The church has been renewed. All the seats were new, came all the way from China. And they had two services, a banquet and then a service in the church on the Sunday afternoon. And one of the things that touches me was the last speaker. Because the church is not crowded anymore, as most of our churches are. But a lot of folks helped in preparing for the celebration. My wife knows more about it than I do, where they had an electronic connection with a lot of folks who used to attend that church. They are all different parts of the world. And they decided to raise that money for the chairs and for other things. And it was announced that everything that we saw was paid for. Believers all across the country and the world send money to take care of it. And the speaker, when he got up, he's from Kingston, and he warned the people, the believers, and said everything that was said today was wonderful, but it is not finished. And he touched on certain points. He said, if you think everything is finished, let the pastor, the chairman, the MC, forget to mention the name of some of the people who gave and hear what would happen. And he beseeched us to pray for the pastor. And it's not somebody that I knew. But after the service, we were sitting at the table having refreshment. And I was sitting by the pastor, his wife, his daughter, and I think maybe two more believers. I don't know how many of us follow the news, but last week, I think it was last week. What is the date today, 12th? Okay. New Year's Day, New Year's morning, after service, they were standing in the churchyard watching the celebration. And some, I do not know what to call that person, in spite of all that was going on, decided to fire a gun. And that little girl that was 15 years old, that was sitting by at the table, got a shot right in his head, in her head. You see, when the pastor told us to pray for one another, they rushed her to the nearest hospital and they could not handle it there. So they went to another hospital where the surgery was done. And thanks be to God, she's alive. I think by sometime this week, she will be going home. Pray for one another. I listened to all the announcement, and I think about 3 or 4 deaths was mentioned. When I think of all that's transpired the end of last year, it's good for us to pray for one another. We have something to give the Lord thanks for, that we are alive, the beginning of a new year. We do not know what it's going to bring. But as my brother, the chair, the MC said, it's good to know that you have a God who cares. There are so many of our saints who passed away. About 5 months ago, I would be standing here and looking at Sister King and so many more. And they are gone home to glory. Praise God for those who have gone home to glory. But I know that there are many, many in this community who do not know nothing about salvation. There are many of us who are saved, but we are going through difficult times. We need the prayer of the saints. And brethren, let us do our best. If you know that you have aught against someone, ask the Lord to forgive you. And go to that person and confess and ask that person to forgive you. Because we cannot do the Lord's work when we have anger, enmity, and all the other things against one another. When we walk in here like how we walk in this morning, we came in to praise the Lord because he has done wonderful things for us, whereof we are glad. Brother Cato read a few scriptures and said that we sing this song, some of the songs, and most of it we sing about what it means to us. But we must remember what it means to God the Father. When Jesus Christ was baptized, God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God the Father was pleased and is pleased about what God the Son has done for us. And he pleased because redemption came through Jesus Christ. Let us look at some of the scripture that was read this morning. We read that Uzziah, that the prophet Isaiah saw the Lord after the death of King Uzziah. The scripture doesn't really tell us what about Uzziah that caused Isaiah to see the Lord in a different light. But we believe, based upon who Uzziah was. He was a young king when he started to reign, and he did some good things. And then he was lifted up in pride. The scripture said in the Old Testament, 2 Kings 15 and 5, 2 Chronicles, you don't have to look at it, 2 Chronicles 26, 19 to 21, that he died. No, I wouldn't say he died of it, but he was covered with leprosy. And when the scripture speaks of leprosy, it's a type of sin. And the scripture, let's go back to the scripture that my brother read. I'm going to go, if I decide to stop early, all night last night, I was just coughing. And if you sit on this side and you see me get up quite a few times, I went for a bottle of water and it was finished, and I went back and get another one and it's almost finished. But I believe God will help me to go through with it. Let's look at it again. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one has six wings. With two he covered his feet. With two he covered his face, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So I said, and I'm going to stop there for now. Isaiah was a prophet, one who warned the people. His pet word was woe, 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 woe. But according to what the scripture is telling us, there comes a time when he more or less fell off track. And I believe he was watching the king. And his mind was, I am better than the king. And he was continuing to preach. And that is telling us sometime, brethren, that we should not judge ourselves according to our brother and sister. As believers, we should never judge ourselves according to our brothers and sisters. God is the one that we should judge ourselves by. And when Isaiah recognized who God is, he recognized something greater. Just as great, he recognized himself and who he was before and in the sight of God. That he was nobody. He recognized that he was nobody when he recognized how great God is. And my brothers and sisters, if we are going to work for God in his service, we must recognize him, who he is, and who we are. And when we recognize who we are, we will humble ourselves before him. And he, woe is me. Verse 5. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. the Lord of hosts. My brother and sisters, this morning is the second Sunday of the new year. And I believe many of us have made plans. And what the word we use every beginning of the year that we're going to do? The new resolution. We are going to change some things. We're going to do some things for God that we have never done before. And some of the things that we have been doing, we are going to drop it. Which, it sounds good. And for believers, great in the sight of God. If when we wake up on the first day of the year and remember some of the things that we have been through, many of us in here this morning have gone through some difficult things. Difficult. We have suffered pain. Loved ones. We have been to the hospitals. Financially, some of us not doing too well. So many things have happened. Our children are giving us trouble. And then we say, Lord, we are asking you to help us that this year will be better than last year. And sometime before the day's over, we find ourselves back on the same old track. Not because of that God is not able, but because we are humans. And some of the things that we promised the Lord that we would do, sometimes we fail to do it because we do not understand that God is able to carry us through. God is able to carry us through. Verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having his hands a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquities is taken away, and your sin purged. You see the difference when we commit ourselves to God? Isaiah was going around and preaching, but there was something that was missing, because he was looking at the king. But when he changed his look from the king to the Lord, the King Jesus, the Lord of hosts, he heard some new words. He heard some new words. Brothers and sisters, when last we hear some new word from God? When last we have gone to the scriptures and some of the things that we read, even though we have read it before, it come home to us in a new way? And the Lord, our God, who wants us to love first him and then our brothers and our sisters, our friends, our co-workers in a different way. When we turn our eyes to Calvary and give God thanks for what he has done for us over the years, taking us through so many difficult times, I don't think there's one of us in here this morning that have not gone through difficult times. We may not want to talk about it to one another, but thanks be to God. we have a God who hears. No matter how simple it is or how difficult it is, He hears our cry. And He promised us that He would listen to us, He would guide us, He will preserve us and defend us. My brother, when you listen to the news, I think it was last week, a 90-something-year-old lady, she still have her strength, and she would get up early in the morning on the street somewhere in Brooklyn. And a young man met her, strangled her, sexually molested her, and killed her. You know, in the old times, and I can't put myself in that time, you see an old person crossing the street, you would ask, "Can I help you, ma'am?" But my brethren, the world that we are living in today, the world that we are living in, America, the scripture tells us we must pray for those who are in authority. How much are we praying for those in authority in this country? Look what happened last week. A plane that took off. Everything was okay, but a rocket went up on all 160 or 170 something people are dead. And it continues. You know why? We fail to see God for who He is. We fail to worship God. We have some large churches in America who, because of what they are getting from our president, they defend him in everything that he does. Now, we must give God thanks for the country that we are living in. Two-party system. You can vote one in and vote the other out. There are parts of the world that election is just a sham, because the man in power will stay in power sometime until the day he dies. But thanks be to God, America is different. But in spite of the difference in this country, brethren, we must pray, because we see some things happening over the past few years that have never happened before, and it is getting worse. Some large churches are defending our president when they should be praying for him. Brethren, God tells us to pray for them. And prayer works. Prayer works, brethren. Isaiah, he see himself as a man of unclean lips. And he was not afraid to shout it out before God. And God touched his lips. And Isaiah, the Lord said, "Behold, this has touched you." That's Isaiah still speaking. "Behold, this has touched your lips." No, the Lord speaking. "Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged." Also, I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" You notice that the Lord did not say, "Isaiah, I'm sending you." After the Lord touched Isaiah, and he heard the cry that God is looking for a man to send, to warn his people, to get his people on the right track, Isaiah cried out, "Here am I, send me." Here am I. Send me. My brother and sisters, God is still calling for a man, a brother, or sister to go. Not everybody going to be up here. But let me tell you something. There's work out there to be done. And if we commit our lives to Jesus Christ, He will send us. He will. I was with the other elders on Friday, and I remind them of that congressman, I think it's a congressman or a senator, that died recently. And while they were eulogizing him in Washington, one of his friends, and it's not the friend that clearer than me, it's one of his, I can say it plainly, one of his white friends, said he listened to that brother spoke, and he said, I would rather see a sermon than listen to one. You know why? I would rather see a sermon than listen to one. You see up here? Be careful, those of us who use it, whether male or female. Because not all of us who preach the word live the word. And when I listen to that, I don't think that statement will ever leave my heart until I die. I would rather watch a sermon than listen to one. So many morning like this, preachers are out there preaching. And one of the big things is money. My wife and I was talking about the amount of millionaires as preachers. Millionaires as preachers. They find scriptures to quote unquote back up what they are saying, but they're not really quoting the scriptures right. And the saints or the believers or those who attend those churches do not know the scriptures. There's one of them who every time he preaches, he comes on when most of us are sleeping. But every now and again I'm up late. And he's telling the members to give him $1,000. And it's not just one Sunday or one meeting. And if they do not have it to give, they must borrow it. And the sad thing about it, so many of them giving that money. And then the next time they're giving the testimony how the Lord blessed them with $25,000 and so forth. But one thing they never do is tell us how they get that money. Now, if I was a preacher out there on the radio and I am going to tell you to give to the Lord, I would tell them, give your church and then your offering or your tithing. And if you have something left, you can send something for me. You know that's what Billy Graham did when he was alive? He said, give your church your tithing and send him an offering for the work's sake. Billy Graham was one of those men who he tells us that he get a salary from his church, from the church where he worshiped, not his church. He doesn't have a church. So when the offering is taken up, it is given to a committee to take care of the bills. Too many of us who call ourselves preachers are ripping off God's people. And on the reverse, too many of us who goes to church do not know what the scripture said. You know what the New Testament tells us? It said when you come together like this morning, you give as the Lord prospered you. That's what the scripture said. And I'm not talking about money this morning, but I just feel like mentioning that. Because as I look on us, we are getting older. And the more we get old, working. Church is going through, or will be going through, financial situation. I know we said right away that God is able. We know that. But God used us to take care of his building, his members. So give as the Lord prospered us. Amen? I don't hear too much amen for that. Let's go back to Isaiah. Then I said, here am I, send me. Isaiah was purged by God. And then he was ready to take on the work that God has for him. And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. You know what the Lord was telling Isaiah to do? Go and warn the people. It's not a lack of hearing, but it's a lack of doing what the word said. Not a lack of hearing. So he was supposed to go and warn the people. This is God's word he's delivering. He warned them to get right with God. Brother and sister, if we are here as believers, we know we are going to heaven. But many of us use that as a shield to do anything we want to do. You know, the young people that I have upstairs who are preparing for baptism, I make sure I told them that once save, always save. But constantly, I warn them. I say, make sure you are saved. And then I show them the scripture. I think it's the second epistle of John, chapter 1 and 2, where John said, my little children, meaning all of us, not so much the young one, I wish that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And every time I ask them, who's an advocate? And most of them know who's an advocate. But there's another word that gives them a little hard time. He's not only the advocate, but he is the propitiator. And I ask them if you know what the word propitiator means. And they struggle with it, so I'm constantly telling them. It's the one who pays the price for the advocate to work. If they were older, I would tell them about O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson had a lot of money. And when he went to court, he was able to get a propitiator. He was the propitiator. He was able to get advocates. O.J. paid the price. And the lawyers get him off. Get him off. But the one difference, when O.J. finished, he was broke. With our Lord Jesus is our propitiator. He paid the price for us. And he didn't stop there. He is our advocate. He's the one who standing before the Father on our behalf. Not sometime, but always. Always. So, beloved, we have an advocate. And sometimes because we know that we are saved, some of us take it for granted. And we do some things sometimes to one another. Because we know if we drop dead, we're going to heaven. I'm going to tell you just like what I told those young people. Make sure that you are saved. Because sometimes the behavior of believers let we wonder, saved by what and from what. Saved from what? And from what? We are humans. And there are times when we, let's say, get angry. There are men in the Bible who get angry. The man who wrote most of the epistles, Paul, he got angry when John returned from the ministry. But my brethren, we should read the Bible carefully. John was not one of them that was sent at the time. He went. But thanks be to God that we didn't leave, the Holy Spirit didn't left it like that. He makes sure that we go to Timothy. When Timothy visit Paul, Paul said to him, when you are coming, bring John with you. Why? He wanted to tell him off? No. Because he was profitable to him in the ministry. When Peter wanted to act as a Jew sometime and as a Gentile, and then he realized that, no, I can't do it. No, I'm a Jew. And he back away from the Gentile. And again, Paul confront him to the face and say, you're wrong, Peter. That's not it. That's not the way to do it. Peter could have said, listen, for 3.5 years I walked with Jesus. Where were you? And then the great writer and preacher. What's his name? Who? Paul. Paul could have said, you know what school I went to? You know who was my professor? But no. I believe they did it like what a brother said, a brother, I think he's from Grenada. He was ministering over here one Tuesday night. And he said something, and the people of the world behave better than us. And he said that sometimes two men will be quarreling in the morning. And by the evening, he said, man, forget what I said, man. Let's go and have a drink. No, I'm not sending us to go and have a drink now. But Paul and Peter understand what Paul was saying. And I believe Peter said, Paul, my brother Paul, you are right. And they continue to minister the word. Brethren, we do not know what happened this year. One thing I know, I do not know if all of us, but we're going to go through some trying times, my brethren. There are times when you need, my brother announced it, that we're going to be praying, and if you have something for us to pray for, Tuesday nights, bring it, and we're going to join together and pray for the situation and pray for you. A brother just came to my mind. Several weeks ago or months ago, we mentioned that my wife's brother is ill in Jamaica. He's still ill. When folks ask me how he's doing, I think a little, and I said, he's comfortable. In other words, his sister down there is taking care of him and some of his friends. But he had the surgery, and he's comfortable. And he needs a prayer. I look at my brother over here. I believe your brother is still waiting. Brother Grant's brother is still waiting for heart transplant. And sometimes when we hear these things, we pray the first day or the first week, and we don't remember that person. But there are many of us who we have been praying for. And sometimes we see them here, Sister Clark and others. We must continue to cry to the throne of grace on behalf of our loved ones. Somebody mentioned Sister Cato. We haven't seen her for a long time. And sometimes Brother Cato has to leave a little early to take care of the one he loves. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Brother Cato, you're an example to many of us younger ones. So many of us are suffering, are going through agonizing pain because of our loved ones. Many of us are going through difficult times because of our children. Okay, I say the time is gone. But I'm going to tell you something. Last night I have 3 of my grandchildren over. And they give me not a hard time. They tire me out. And my daughter said that my little granddaughter is less than 3 years old. And the place that she's going at the daycare/kindergarten. First of all, he learned to pray give thanks when he's at home. And they told my daughter, she came home, the little girl came home, and he was going to eat, and mommy said, pray, and you're supposed to finish in Jesus' name. And the little girl, who's not 3 yet, said to her mother, my daughter, no, mommy, the teacher said, I should not say in Jesus' name. And my daughter was angry. And when she went the following day to pick her up, she went to the teacher and said, "What? At home, I said that you're causing problem with my daughter because she knows to pray in Jesus' name. And you told her not to say Jesus or Lord." And you know what the teacher said? Mrs. All right. It's not us, it's the government. The government. Why am I saying this? Those of us who have children and grandchildren, we have a very important task ahead to lead our children daily, like what it mentioned in the Word of God, that we as believers must know the word. We must pass it on to our children. You know this gay group that have many names? Who know what is there? You know what it is? They are preparing now to bring in the school. But we cannot teach our children to pray to God Almighty. May God have mercy on us. May God have mercy on us. I'm going to close quickly now because I see time is going. I know we read the entire chapter, but what our God is doing, there are times when he wipes out a complete nation, and there are times when there's a remnant remaining. I don't know if we read the last portion of it about the stump. The live stump that remains, that God is using to bring his word to his people. Brethren, we could be the last stump that remains. We need to get busy for our God. We do not know how many of us are going to be stretching out here this year. But assure that it's going to happen. You see how many funerals mentioned here this morning? The next one could be me. So I'm asking us, brethren, to get right with God. If you are here and you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, God is telling you to repent. When the prophet said his lips were cleansed, it's not just his lips, it was his entire body. Because the scripture said, what comes through your lips, it comes to your body. Jesus was speaking. just before, I want to make sure I gave it to you that you don't tell me that I'm misquoting scripture. Just bear with me. I have two scriptures here that I want to share with you. One is Matthew. So that's when you write notes and you put all of them together. But anyhow, Jesus warned us that what comes through our lips affects our entire body. We should cleanse our lips before God. We should cleanse our eyes, our hands, our feet. Because some of the places that we are going, we should not be going. Some of the things that we are doing, we should not be doing it. So may God have mercy on us that we will cleanse our lips before God. And he will give us the work that he has for us to do. If you are here this morning and you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, just like I mentioned before, when you go to the cemetery, you see all different age groups. The time when they were born and the time when they died. And you don't even have to go to the cemetery. Just listen to the news. How many young people are being killed daily. I'm not talking about those who are sick and in the hospital and the Lord called them home. You go out there on the streets, you have more guns out there than maybe what they have in the army. And they are shooting you for nothing. I was told recently of a good friend of mine, of ours. He has a very good job. He lived in Queens and he also have a house in Georgia. And he drive a very expensive car. And he dropped home his girlfriend and turned around the car. And just as he turned around, somebody bumped the back of his car. And obviously, if you drive those type of cars, and I'm going to tell you the name of the car, you would immediately rush out the car. And as he rushed out the car, a man had a gun on him. You know what is going on? It's not. There are people in this country who take that for a job. They grabbed the car, and by the time he was so frightened, and when he looked, the car gone. By now, that car is somewhere in Africa. That's a business where they take away your car and they have a way to ship it out of the country immediately. Or if it's on the ship, by the time the police begin to check, it's already on its way to Africa. Those are some of the things that are happening in this country. So brethren, let us love the Lord. And if we love the Lord, let us love the Lord's people. Let us take the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ out on the street, because the time is short. May God bless us for his name's sake. Let us pray. Eternal God and Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how we give you thanks and praise for who you are. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, from heaven's glory for this sin-cursed earth. We thank you, O God, that he came and everything that he did was perfect. We thank you for the way he delivered the simple gospel of the saving grace. And Lord God and Father, that was not enough. All the way to Calvary, he went for us. And this morning, we are free. Not free to do anything we feel like doing, but we are free to worship you. We are free to serve you. We are free to love one another with a godly love. We are free to pray for one another. We are free to help those who need help. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you all the honor and the glory. And Lord God and Father, We pray that the few words that were said will touch the heart of someone here this afternoon, and that lives will be changed to call you blessed. We give you thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen.